morning, brothers and sisters. I bless you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see you. Let's all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer. Ask Brother Duncan if he leads to the Lord in prayer this morning.
We bow before thy throne of grace and mercy this morning.
Amen.
Father, to thank you, to worship you.
Amen.
To adore you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
This is the cause for which, Father, you brought us here, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we can lift your name on high, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Thank you for this privilege that you've given us to be gathered in your presence, Heavenly Father. Thank you for taking care of us through the past week.
Yes.
We give you thanks, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we have come to hear from you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We have come expecting.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, not to hear from a man, but to hear from thee, Heavenly
yes.
Father. Lord Jesus, give us the grace to see beyond the veil of a man.
Yes.
And Father, capture your word, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we commit the entire service into your care.
Amen.
Come and take full control.
Yes.
Your children coming from all over, Heavenly Father, bring them into the house, Heavenly Father, safely, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We love you. We thank you as we commit the entire service in your care. The precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all this with thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. See you, Brother Denai. Amen. Your family. God bless you. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? Amen. Is there a better place to be than the house of the Lord? No, sir. Amen. Let's start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So again, talking about the family and the children, and I trust that you're not tired of this subject. It's been very eye-opening for me. Every time we go through these subjects, I learn so much, as well as I trust that you all are also. So God's word is inexhaustible, right? Amen. So Brother Branham, he stayed on the topic of Job for a long time. I don't know how long it was, but he said, one of the sisters said, when are you going to get Job off that ash heap, right? So sometimes, you dig into the word and you just keep digging in further and further. And the more you dig, the more that you find. And so that's just the way God is sometimes. Now, when we look here at the scriptures about children, us being children, as well as we having physical children of our own, or children that we're associated with. So looking at this scripture, children, obey your parents, obedience being the foundation, as we spoke of before, and it's reiterated in the book of Ephesians, that obedience of the children is the foundation, and that they must obey their parents, but also honor their parents. It talks about that in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee. And then it talks about the father's charge, right? So the father's responsibility. And so we want to know what our role is. We want to know what our duty description is so that we can rest. And so the Bible, the scriptures, and the word of God gives us our boundaries, if you understand what I'm saying. It gives us our standards. So it's hard to go on in life and aim at something if you don't have any kind of standard, any kind of objective, any kind of goal. But the Word of God gives us a standard to live by, right? It says, this is the way I want you to live, and it's very clear, right? It's just sometimes we, through our ignorance, don't always know because of whatever reason, laziness or different reasons or just being overtaken, but God has laid all that out for us.
Amen.
And so we have a standard and we have boundaries, and the boundaries are our protection. And so when everything is clear and you know what is expected, then you can rest, right? And so God lays all these things out, and so it's very clear, and if you stay within the boundaries, then you can rest, and things will be just fine, right? And so we know in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve, they had those boundaries, and God let them rest and enjoy themselves, and they were very peaceful, at peace, because they knew where they stood and where their boundaries were. When they started to break out of those boundaries, then there was confusion, and then it caused chaos and all these different things. And so with our children, we must provide them clear guidance, direction, which comes from the Word of God, so they clearly know what's expected of them. And so we, as you know, they're a sponge, they're a blank slate, so we've got to provide that structure for them. You know, you see the opposite in the world today, because there's no structure and people want to remove boundaries. You know, used to have the Ten Commandments in schools, they took that out, and that guided the behavior of the students. But now they don't have, it's like whatever anybody thinks, and then there's confusion, there's chaos, and there's nervousness, there's heart attacks, there's fear, and all these different things. And so the same thing with our children, if they don't have those boundaries, if they don't have those expectations, then they have a stress on them because they don't know what they're supposed to do. And they may not say that, but they are stressed because they're having to make decisions that they're not equipped for. They're having to navigate in areas that they don't have equipped, they don't have knowledge, experience, wisdom in. And so we as parents must guide them into each stage of life, right? Just as God guides each one of us in each stage of life. And so as a new Christian, he doesn't just throw on, you know, the tests and trials that are really difficult, the hard things right away. He wouldn't make us go to something like Jesus went to the cross right away, right? But there is a building, there's a progression, there is a training process that goes along with that. So we, as parents, particularly fathers, they have the responsibility. You know, the father is the head of the house. He's a protector, he's a provider. And he is charged with bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so that being bring them up, if you look in the Greek, bring them up to the maturity, nourish them into the maturity through the admonition and admonition. If you break that down, it's talking about teaching, instructing, chastising, all those different things to the whole set of tools that we bring up our children in. Now, we're going to continue on, and when we talked about maturity, so the goal is to bring our children to maturity. And so what is the difference between maturity and immaturity according to the Word of God? And then after that, by God's grace, if we can, we can go into how parents, and mirroring that with God as well, to maintain control of the home, because as parents, we must maintain control of the home. Now, it's not us, it's the Lord's Word and His Spirit working through us to do that. Because we know that the only way that this could happen is through Christ. Because if we do it through our own way, we see how the world does it, and it's through dictatorship, it's through force, and that never produces the results. It may temporarily produce the results, but it never fully produces the results. Because we know that if that type of rulership, dictatorship, force, eventually the people under rise up, right? And the heart is never converted. And so there is a rebellion, even though on the outside they may obey, there's an inside that's rebelling and can't wait until the shackles are taken off, or may rebel against those shackles. And so we want to do it the right way, the Lord's way. Now, talking about the maturity. Now, the ultimate goal is that we want, as a commandment talked about in Matthew 22, for love to pervade through our children, the love of God, the Spirit of God, right? For them to be completely yielded to God. And so the Scripture says, you know, all the law and the prophets and the Scriptures hung in the scriptures. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Luke for a second here. Luke, I believe it's towards the middle, and it's where Jesus talks about this very scripture. Amen. If you have it, chapter 10 it is. So, in verses 25 through 28, the question comes to Jesus about what must I do to have eternal life? And then he says, talks about the scriptures saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and that scripture that we're familiar with. And then verse 28 says, thou hast said right, this do, and thou shalt live. And I missed the part also. He says, and thy neighbor as thyself. So love the Lord and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now this gentleman says in verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now I'm going to read this scripture all the way through for this story. And this is about the Samaritan. But I want us to pay attention to the differences and the nuances within the scripture, because this is the part where Jesus really outlines who our neighbor is, in a sense. Now he says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So now you have this man who's a Samaritan. He's not a Jew, but he's a Samaritan. But you have these men that are priests, ministry, leaders of the church. And so these scriptures that I just read before about love, they know these scriptures because they're in the Old Testament, right? So they know these scriptures, but yet when they see a man that's in need, then they walk away to the other side, right? So now, but certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So now you see a difference. I'm sorry, this man was a Jew that got injured. And so his own people abandoned him, right? And so now this man, there's a difference between the Samaritans and Jews, and they don't like each other in a lot of ways. And the Jews think that they're reprobates in a way. So, but this Samaritan, that he's been treated by the Jews a certain way, still treats this man well. Amen. Not only has respect, but also has compassion and treats this man like it was his own family, right? So he's on a journey. Maybe he has to do something. Maybe he has a schedule to meet, right? Sometimes we have a schedule to meet, but he stops and drops everything, and then he takes care of this man that he doesn't even know. And he takes care of him, and he says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So now he's really trying to explain, and in a way so that we understand what is a neighbor. And a neighbor is, no matter how much you're treated bad, different race, different religion perhaps, total stranger, but that you would love that person, right? And so that is what Jesus is meaning by love thy neighbor as thyself. So now this is the commandment to us, and this is what we are to raise our children into, that type of mindset. Not just a mindset, from their heart. And so we know that with our children that it is not just obedience from the outside, although that is a foundation. We must work towards their heart, right? And that's the ultimate goal, because when the words come into the heart, remember that's the ultimate goal. Jesus said in Hebrews, he says, I will write my laws into their hearts and into their minds, right? And the tablets of their heart. And their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. Remember, it was an outward thing before, but he wants to move an inward way, right? And so we know that as children in the foundation, that we want to bring them to obedience. And that is the very first foundational stage. They must be able to at least listen to what you're saying, right, and teaching. They have to be open to it. If you don't get them to obedience, then, you know, they'll be unruly. They'll never pay attention. You can't get that into them, right? So you must get their attention. Sometimes a rod gets their attention, right? And so they must be able to open their eyes and look. And God uses his rod also to us spiritually when he needs to get our attention. So getting the attention, getting to obedience, and then eventually working to the heart. Now, when we talk about, well, let's go a little bit further. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So now we're talking about the goals of parenting. So we talked about love is the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal that God wants to achieve in us. That's the ultimate goal that we want to achieve in our children. And love being the spirit of Christ. Now, you'll bear with me here for a second. So I get to the last spot. Okay. Now, when we talked about the foundations being the obedience to bring us to obedience, which also brings us to humbleness, because you, in order to be obedient, you've got to be humble. Because if you're, you know, if you're going to take in and you're going to be obedient, you must put yourself lower so that you can listen, right? So humbleness is critical to the obedience, and humbleness go hand in hand. And then you have a respectful attitude if you're obedient, right? Because, again, if you're obedient, you recognize a higher authority than you, and you submit yourself to that authority, therefore being respectful to that authority. So now I want to read something in the Message Respects to kind of hone in on this respect. So Brother Branham mentions a scripture in the basis of this message. He says, he reads a long scripture in Psalms, but he says, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Talking about respect for those that God has put in authority. Now, he says in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the full duty of man. So it comes down to his commandments, his word, in the thoughts and mind of God, that we are to fear God and to keep that. Now he says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So in the basis of that, as he expands on this scripture or these scriptures, now he says, now that don't mean that you're afraid of him, but that means that you are having respect and reverence. And when you respect God, you fear God. So fear, when you have fear, you know that that person is greater. You know that there is an authority there. You have an awe. You have a respect. So when you respect God. You fear that you might displease him in some way. You fear lest you would do something wrong you wouldn't want to. And so now you have an attitude of a respect towards God. Now he goes into other people that we deal with about having respect and having awe and fear. When he says fear, just a that type of, you don't want to do things wrong. Now, so when we have this, now when, you know, a parent, as a parent, when we treat our children in the right way, if we have the Spirit of God coming, flowing from us, so we have a standard. We maintain that standard. We teach them the things of God, and we mean what we say. So we say, if you don't do that, and they disobey, then there's a consequence. You respect somebody that does that. If there's somebody that just says, threatens to do something, or says, don't do that, never does anything about it, you don't respect that person. Which of the teachers or people that you've had, coaches or different ones, which ones did you respect? Those that were strict. Those that, you know, when you cross the line, you know, they did something. There was a punishment. There was a consequence. And so God is that way. When God, when somebody does something, you look at it throughout the scriptures. You know, when somebody trespassed, then there was a consequence for it. And so God shows that I follow my word. And so we as parents must follow our word. But then God also showed love and mercy so that when it was difficult, when the times were hard and we tried to do our best, but we didn't make the mark, then there was grace there, amen, right? And so then when there's love extended, where grace extends, then that just builds that much love for who gave it, amen, right? And so then we as parents, when we do that for our children, then there is an awe, there's a love, there's a respect, right? They know that they shouldn't cross the line, but they know at the same time that you will love them and give them grace if they do something wrong and they did not mean it. There may be a consequence, but it's not going to be excessive, if you understand, just based on our attitude. And so now he says, I fear my mother, I fear my wife, I fear my church, I fear all of God's servants. So that's a lot of people, not just God. So he's fearing, he's respecting everyone around him. You fear that you, okay, I fear the people. I fear the people of the city unless I should do something wrong that would cause them to think that I wasn't a Christian. So that's the fear that he has. He wants to have the right testimony. He wants to do things right. And so he fears how he behaves himself because he doesn't want to mar his testimony and mar God's testimony. See, you've got, before you can have respect, you've got to have fear. And God demands it. He demands respect. God does. He demands it. And fear brings it. And we know that fear brings respect. And so this is not something that God says is optional. Just do it if you want to. He demands it. Amen. So he says, when you come, you must have respect, right? He wants you to give it willingly, but he demands respect. And so we as parents, we must demand respect of our children. Our children should not be walking all over us. Our children should not be disobedient to us. You know, we should not let them just do whatever they want and then, you know, direct disobedience to what we have said. They've got to be under control. They've got to be under obedience. Now, we, again, not as a dictator, but as a father, at balanced. So we have the strictness and the holiness and the following what has been said, and that guided by, in our instruction, guided by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, but at the same time having that love, having that forgiveness, having that mercy, having that understanding that I've been there before, right? And I understand the situation. And looking at the child's attitude, you know, when they've got a bad attitude, you know that song, he looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. And so when we look at our children sometimes, you know, sometimes we get aggravated, we get frustrated at them because I've told you so many times, you know. But then we've got to sit back sometimes and let God take control sometimes of our mind and our attitude. You never want to approach your children in anger, right? Because it can do a lot of damage. But to take that back and say, you know, what is the problem? Why? Because you keep hitting against the wall and you're not sure. And sometimes the Lord lets us go through that so that we rely on Him and go back and say, Lord, what is it that I'm doing wrong? You know, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom in this situation. Maybe it's time to go into prayer and to handle that. And then through the Spirit of God, many times it helps us to see what that child, the situation is with that child. You know, every child is a little bit different, right? Every child's got a different makeup. Brother Ram goes about that. He says they're born under a different star. They're born under a different month. They have a different personality, right? It's their upbringing that caused them to be this way. They have some challenges in that way. And so sometimes this way may not work. You've got to try another way, right? Or this way, different angle. And sometimes we need wisdom. And sometimes we are not always equipped personally with all that, right? Sometimes we are. We understand our children because that child is like us, you know. And, if, you know, sometimes they're the ones that we have the hardest time with because, and then your wife will say, that child is exactly like you, right? So it's like, okay, maybe I had a blind spot here. Let me think back to when I was that age and how, you know, how I wanted to be treated and what I was dealing with, right? But sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need God to show us through His Word. The Spirit of God, He opens up a scripture to us. Sometimes we hear something from the pulpit. Sometimes there's somebody in the congregation that has gone the same road that we have, right? And then God leads us to that person and they say just the right nugget so that we can benefit from that. And showing that it is not us that are self-sufficient, but we need God. And so if we only yield ourselves to Him, He has all the answers and He will give us. He's more than willing to give us the answer, right? You know, Brother Branham says that God wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you desire it. And so He just needs us to get into a certain position and then He'll open it up to us. Amen. So He says, I want to continue on. I think we understand that point about the respect. Now, moving on, hitting some highlights. We talked about it as far as maturity, wisdom is a part of that. And we hit some areas talking about making the right choices, good and right choices, guided by the wisdom that God has given to us through the experiences that He has given to us, some other people, as well as the Word of God, not easily caught in the traps of sins. And so now, Brother Branham makes this statement. Hopefully you're not too hot. I feel the heat up here, so please don't get sleepy. All right, now he says, now everybody, he makes a statement so we can understand what he's talking about, judgment. Here's an example. Now everybody, you all good-natured. He's talking to the congregation of Jeffersonville. Every one of you men are good-natured. If it wasn't so, I'd say, oh, but brother so-and-so, he's not good, got a good nature. We're all praying for him, but You do have good natures, and you're long-suffering. And those are the natures that Christ, through the fruits of the Spirit, right? They produce these fruits. And he says, gentle, quiet sort of men, that's fine. Now he says, but don't be a sissy with that. So there's a balance here, right? Okay, so God's men are not pushovers. At the right time, there's a time when God wants us to take the slap in the face, but there's a time when God wants us to speak. So he says here, Jesus was good-natured too. But when it comes to say things, it's written, my Father's house is made a house of prayer, and you are making it a den of thieves. See, he knowed when to speak and when not to. And so God gives us wisdom to know when to open our mouth and not to open our mouth. But the scripture overall says, quick to listen, slow to speak, right? So be careful what we say and let us be guided by the Spirit of God when we do speak. And so there is a situation there and, you know, God led him to speak at that time. And what he did is, you know, he whipped them out, right? The money changers. It says, talk about being a deacon in the church. He took over. He plaited some ropes together. So he was meek as a lamb, as a sheep. And he was humble. But then at times God guided him and gave him wisdom to do this. And so we've got to get the wisdom from God in handling different situations. Now, I'm going to continue further. So remember, responsibility is another element of being mature. And so we went through different scriptures of how God has demonstrated through different men of God, particularly young ones, because that's what we really want. We want our children. We want our young people. We want the teenagers, the young adults, on up to take on maturity. Now, everybody's different levels. Some children are fairly mature. Some adults, maybe not that much mature, right? And so it depends on where we came in, where we were brought up, where we are in our walk with God. And so, but we must, there's one absolute, and that's the Word of God, and we must measure ourselves against the Word of God. And so we must come to that. Now, so different ones, like Joseph, how as a young man, he was very, very responsible, and he was given more and more responsibility. You know, you take the part that he was set apart from his brothers. He's the one that accepted God more fully from his heart, and therefore he was trusted by his father. Amen. And so he actually told his 17-year-old son, Jacob did, he says, go check on your brothers, right, and bring me word back. So he was trusted, he was dependable. And so that is a characteristic of God. God is trustworthy. He is dependable. He never fails his word, right? He does what he says. And so you can count on him. You never have to wonder or worry. He's going to do exactly what he says, right? And so, you know, we as children of God, as adults, as well as our children, we want to be that way. We want to be dependable. We want to be, sure, you know, you want to be, like in the natural sense, you want to be that worker that the boss always trusts, right? To trust to do this job, that job, and, you know, you never have to, the boss never has to worry, right? He can just send you off and know it's going to get done even better than he or she thought, right? And so that's the same way that God wants us to be. He wants to be us to be that type of child. He wants to trust us completely with his word. He wants us to be that child of God that he just gives the word and they sends them off, gives them the power. Remember, those disciples were given power, right? Remember, the Holy Ghost is given to those who really want to receive it and do and follow God. And he gives gifts and powers to those he trusts, right? Amen. And so remember, the whole premise of the adoption is that God wants to fully trust his sons and daughters. And to fully trust, he knows he has to rely on their complete and total obedience to him. And that they won't have their own ulterior motive or agenda. They won't hide something from him. They won't try to do some of his word, but not all of it, right? So he wants to completely trust. And that's the type of children that we want to raise up, that type of child, and that's who we want to be. The diligent, dependable, trustworthy. So there's different places. You look at David, how he was as a young man. You look at Daniel, how he was as a young man. You look at Jesus, how he was when he was 12 years old. And so he had a wisdom and a maturity far beyond. And you look at even the priests, they were asking him questions, right? Because of his wisdom and maturity. And in the Bible, it says that Daniel and those men that were with him, those three other men, it says they were children, right? But he says they were 10 times wiser than the others that were chosen of the kingdom. And so where did that come from? It came to God. But the basis of that was they were yielded to God and they were receiving, they were obedient to God. It helped him to stand firm and make those decisions and say those things that he did and stand firm against, on the word of God, that he did not want to take the king's food but would follow according to the word of God. And God rewarded him. Now, we talked about how maturity is developed. It's developed through suffering. For children, it's learning to say no and dealing with the hard things of life. Now, I'm moving on. So what characterizes immaturity? Now, we talked about it's really boils down to self-centeredness. You know, we talked about self-preoccupation, self-centeredness, inflated self-love, and we talked about how this Laodicean age, which has the greatest greatest powers of Satan working in this age, right? The most deceptive age, the most powers of Satan working in this age, the greatest powers of Satan. And so when you see how Brother Branham characterizes it, he says that Laodicea means the people's rights. So it's my rights, right? What I want to do, my privilege. Now he says, all nations rising up and demanding equality socially and financially. He says, the spirit of the last days is making the love of many wax cold. So the love of people has gotten cold. And so it's now focused on self-love, he says. He says, in Laodicean age or last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. Now, so we see these attitudes in society. We see them in the news, and we talked about that, how it's all about the people's rights, the ACLU, NAACP, you know, these different groups that are keep on springing up, and it's about my rights and my rights. And then it's like, this is what you did to me in the past, and we're going to, you know, fight against that. Now, you see, we hit on the scripture, a couple scriptures. We know that it's looking at everybody else instead of inwardly, right? We know the child of God really looks at themselves. Like, if something happens, what did I do? You know, what have I possibly done that caused this, right? Now, the opposite is always looking at that person did this. It's because of this person, because of that person. That's what we don't want to train our children to. We want to train our children to accepting responsibility. Because when you accept responsibility, then you really try to see, first of all, whether it's with yourself. Remember the old plank in the eye scripture? So you look at yourself and see, is this me? A lot of times it is. You know what I mean? Because that's the greatest enemy to us, as Brother Branham says, is us. So what did I do? What is wrong with me? And then we try to go to that, and then God will open our eyes to everything else. So it says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So we want to uncover our sins. If we just say, I'm fine, it's that person over there, there's nothing wrong with me, you'll never prosper. And then, you know, there's a blame attitude on the Lord or whoever else, but the scripture in Proverbs 28:19:3 talks about how there are those that get on a bad path because of their foolishness, but they get mad at the Lord. You can look that up. Now, I want to try to go down to brass tacks here, and I'm sorry it's taking me so long to get to this point, but I just wanted to build the foundation, not just jump right into it. So now he says, now we see these attitudes with people. I'm going to hit, maybe I'm going to step on some toes here, maybe. But if we're all wanting to become better and all see where we're wrong, because we all want that, right? Amen. We want to be corrected where we're wrong. So now I'm going to read off some things of things that you see in the, well, let me hit this first before I go into that. So in the message, The Church in This Condition, Brother Branham parallel or contrasts the difference between attitudes of people in the church, okay? And this is all human nature. And, you know, one of the things that was, like, highlighted to me as going through this study is, you know, how pastors and deacons have to deal with situations in the church, right? You know, a lot of it's human behavior, you know, whether this person is trying to do this against this person, whether it's relationships, whether it's all those different things, right? And, you know, as a father, and many of us are parents, you look at children and you see the same types of things, the behaviors in the children. And it's just they're a little bit younger, maybe a little bit more immature, maybe not, right? And so, but you see the same things. They're squabbling amongst each other because of immaturity, right? They don't see the bigger picture. They don't have the love in them. They don't have the looking at other people more than themselves, you know, all these different things. So you see that. And so you see why God puts people that have been successful in parenting and over their households as leadership in the church because they understand this, right? And they've been successful in it. And so when we look at what he's talking about here, try to take it to, you know, human nature within the church, but also, you know, with our children. So he says, "Now, as I noticed this lamb and the sheep together, the lamb and the dove, rather, together, they made one. Then watch how the lamb, dove, led the lamb, the Son of God. How gentle he was, knowing that he was going to the slaughter." That's hard to be that way, submissive, right? "How gentle he was, to always not to try to do himself, not to try to be self-sufficient." So depending on themselves, right? Their own ability, their own wisdom. "I think I know how to do this. I know how to do this. Don't tell me what to do, you know. Jesus said, "I do nothing until the Father shows me first, and the Father dwells in me." So he's totally submitted to the Father. Imagine your children being totally submitted to you. Beautiful, right? So are we totally submitted to God in everything? Well, maybe we'll hit on some things. "Now, another thing the lamb is willing to submit its rights. Now, God wants us to be lamb, but there's so many times that we don't want to submit our rights, forfeit our rights. I'm an American. I have a right to do this. I have a right to drive my car any way I want to. I can eat whatever I want to. I can live any way I want to," right? It's American spirit. "But there are so many times that we don't want to submit our rights, forfeit our rights. So many of you say, 'Well, I've got rights, Brother Branham.' That's true. But are you willing to forfeit your rights? Are you willing to give your rights that God could lead you? No matter what, every circumstance, not just certain circumstance." That's what's the matter with our churches today in the great majority, that the gentleness of the Lamb of God, we are supposed to be lamb. We have become everything else but lamb. And that's the reason as soon as we get that attitude, the dove of the Holy Spirit takes her flight and leaves. If the Lamb of God would have made the first snarl like a wolf or would have done anything contrary to what the gentle dove would have permitted, the dove would have took her flight. She would have left in a minute. So when somebody steps on our toes or treats us a certain way, have we gone, or give them peace of our mind? And that's the reason today that we're wondering, or we pout to our husband or our wife when we get home, right? Okay, and that's the reason today that we're wondering, what's the matter with the Pentecostal churches? Because we have taken on a different nature. We've taken on a nature that we want our rights. We're going to do what we know that's right to do. I know this is right. I'm going to do this anyhow. Maybe I'm wrong. And we become arrogant. We become hostile. We become indifferent. We let temper come in. We let selfishness come in. And indifference being lack of interest, concern, or self-righteousness. A lamb, when it comes time, he owns his own wool. That's his right. I can keep my own wool. That's the lamb. They could say that. He owns his own wool, but they take the lamb and throw him up on the blocks and tie his feet down. He never kicked. He never fusses. You just take his rights right away from him because he's a lamb. He can't do nothing else because that's his nature. Amen. So now we look at every scripture and every part of the message and comb our lives through and see, you know, maybe there's sometimes we're a lamb, but sometimes we're a goat. Maybe sometimes we're a lamb, but sometimes we're a wolf. Now he says here, you'll find out what he is, cross him up one time. And that's the reason today that our churches is in the condition they are. Now God lets us go through situations so that it exposes that.
Amen.
So it happens to all of us, right? Happens to you and I, both of us. We're all in it together. And so I've been through several. You've been through several. But at the same time, those of us who have looked back and analyzed it and thought about it and seen how it really helped us, right? Because I've learned to be obedient no matter who is in charge. That person may not make sense at all. I may totally disagree, but I will say, yes, I understand, right? And so I hated going through it, and it was terrible, and it was long, but it was good, right? And so then you really see the value of what God is trying to do. And so then you can take back to our children, and when they pout and they get upset, it's part of the growing process. Now let's all stand. We ran out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for thy word, O Lord. And it is eternal and it is inexhaustible, O Father. And Lord, we just need you, O Lord, more and more every day, O Lord. And we ask that you would continue to guide us, O Lord. You are the one who guides. You are the tutor, O Father, in our child training, O Father. We are the vessels that you work through to speak, and sometimes maybe we make mistakes, O Lord, but you correct those mistakes, O Father. And so it's part of the training that we're going through, O Lord. You know, whether you're the pastor, you're a deacon, you're, you know, whoever, a lay member, musician, God is working through each one of us. And we want the Spirit of God and the Word of God to flow through us more and more. But we know that we make mistakes, but help us to have the right attitude that when we have the mistake, that we're ready to pick up and say, where did I go wrong? Lord, teach me so that I don't make the same mistake again and so that I can move on forward in better understanding and wisdom in a more mature walk. Lord Jesus, bless the song service and the preaching of the Word. Oh, Lord, have your way, dear Lord Jesus, for there's no purpose for us to be here unless you're here. There's no purpose for us to gather together unless you speak the words of life to us, O Lord. So we welcome you, O Lord. Continue to be with us, strengthen us, correct us, guide us, encourage us, all those things, O Father. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be excited in the Lord.
Amen.
Bless you.